Most people watching this will have had some exposure to Batman, but likely through the movies, or maybe a TV show like the old 60s Adam West series, or the 1990s Batman the Animated Series, or maybe a video game like the Arkham Asylum games. But in this video, I'm going to give you the tools you need to get into the world of Batman comics. Now, there's a fair few videos like this on YouTube, but in my view, none of them go into sufficient depth to provide the necessary explanations for you to truly get orientated for your transition from casual mainstream Batfan into a reader of the Batman comics. Now, before I begin, it's worth saying why the comics are worth reading. The Batman of the comics is a dark and complex character. He's obsessive, some might say overly grim. But what makes him more interesting to me than many other superheroes is that he doesn't seem to have some hopeful vision of the future. Rather, he is resigned to his fate, battling a constant uphill struggle against a never-ending cavalcade of supervillains and criminal scum. He knows none of them will reform. He doesn't seem to think a better world is even possible, and yet he remains driven and relentless in his quest to clean up the streets as the ultimate vigilante. As most Batman fans know, Bruce Wayne is the mask, and Batman is the real man. The personal life of Bruce in the comics is almost comically empty, and this is often highlighted. Batman is not the sort of hero who talks about his feelings. But beyond that, the comics are worth reading because Batman has the richest and best rogues gallery in history, and the best supporting cast, especially Alfred and Jim Gordon. The most awesome location in Gotham, which is a real hive of scum and villainy. And of course, he has the deepest lore. In fact, since Batman has been appearing continuously in comics from 1939 onwards, this is a sufficiently massive topic that I will have to break the rest of the guide into two sections. The first section will be a general introduction to the Batman comics, and the next section will tackle the issue of chronology and how I plan to tackle reading order, which will double up as a collection guide as well. So first things first, Batman is published by DC Comics. He first appeared in Detective Comics in May 1939 in issue 27. Detective Comics is still running as a monthly publication and celebrated its 1,000th issue in June 2019. Since Batman's first appearance, he has been the star of Detective Comics. However, in 1940, the Batman comic was launched, and this has been Batman's main publication ever since. Although, unlike Detective Comics, due to two reboots, the numbering of issues of Batman started again. So we are now on volume 3, and at the time of writing, issue 96. Generally speaking, Batman is the A book and Detective Comics is the B book. It really depends on who is the main writer on each book, but generally speaking, the main storylines and the big events happen in Batman, while Detective Comics is devoted to more self-contained stories, typically featuring a villain of the week. Batman doing more actual detective work, and sometimes also it features other members of the Bat family. This is not to say nothing of note ever happens in Detective Comics, far from it, and for the very big crossovers and story arcs, very often stories will cross over from Batman to Detective Comics and then back again. One way to start reading would be to pick up a bunch of consecutive issues from a given starting place and simply read them in order. Now, there have been a plethora of other Bat books down the years. Legends of the Dark Knight ran from 1989 to 2007, and generally focused on tales from Batman's early days, often with a darker and more gritty tone. Shadow of the Bat ran from 1992 to 2000, and focused on the more psychological aspects of various Batman characters. And there have been others too, like Gotham Knights. Generally speaking, these secondary titles are often used to flesh out big crossover storylines, which are later collected in trade paperbacks. At any given time, each comic book will have a dedicated creative team. The main writer, the main artist, who is the penciler, and an inker. When a writer takes the mantle of a comic book for any length of time, this is known as a run. A run can be short, for example, Frank Miller's famous run on Batman from issue 404 to 407, collected in trade paperback as Batman Year One, was only 4 issues long. On the other hand, a run can also be long. For example, Grant Morrison's run from issue 655 to 683 was 28 consecutive issues over 3 years, and then he had a few more on top of that as well. It is common for a writer to partner with an artist. For example, Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale often work together, but often artists would also be mainstays on the comics too, working with multiple different writers. Two examples would be Jim Aparow and Norm Breyfogle, who both worked with a who's who of writing talent drawing Batman in the 1980s and the 1990s. So another way of getting into reading Batman would be to explore the runs of particular writers and artists. Long-running story arcs, which span multiple issues and sometimes cross over into other publications, are often collected in trade paperbacks and then given a title. For example, one famous story, which is collected as Batman, A Death in the Family by Jim Starlin, ran over 4 issues of Batman from issue 426 to 429 in 1988. More epic stories like Nightfall cut across many different publications. So now, with these basics covered, we can broach the topic of chronology. In the world of comics, the early era from around the time Batman debuted in the late 1930s to the mid-1950s is known as the Golden Age. Then, from the mid-50s to about 1970 is called the Silver Age. And then the 1970s to the mid-1980s is the Bronze Age. And after that is what is typically called the Modern Age. The Golden Age Batman was generally dark and pulpy. The Silver Age Batman is typically seen as bright, colourful, and full of wacky stories involving improbable sci-fi elements. The Bronze Age Batman is more serious in tone and had more mature themes. And the Modern Age Batman is known for being darker, often with a grim tone, but this is not always the case. Now, within DC Comics lore, there have been a number of resets and retcons. For some reason, these universe-wide resets typically originate with other characters, like The Flash, or Green Lantern, or Superman even, getting rebooted, and then only hit Batman and the world of Gotham as an afterthought. The first time this happened was at the start of the Silver Age, when it was decided that all of the characters who'd been established in the 1930s and 40s, including Batman, actually lived on a planet called Earth 2. And now, in the Silver Age and going forward, we'd be following characters on Earth 1. So the Batman you see here is actually Earth 2 Batman, whereas the Batman you see here is Earth 1 Batman. You can tell Earth 2 Batman because the bat symbol on his suit is just black, whereas the Earth 1 Batman typically has a yellow oval around the bat symbol. The Batman of Earth 2 was in the Justice Society of America, whereas the Batman of Earth 1 was in the Justice League of America. Oh, and on Earth 2, Batman married Catwoman. In any case, in 1985, DC shattered all of this again with a mega event across all of its titles called Crisis on Infinite Earths. This established a planet called New Earth, which became our new reality. Only confusingly, where Batman was concerned, he just seemed to carry on as before, with Jason Todd as Robin, as if nothing had happened. But not long after this, Frank Miller did his Year One run to re-establish the origin story of Batman for the post-crisis age. And, for all intents and purposes, this is the point from which new readers tend to establish the modern continuity. But, confusingly, writers can re-establish old stories from the Silver and Bronze Ages into the modern Batman canon at any time. For example, during Grant Morrison's run, it is suggested that all of the wacky Silver Age comics actually happened. Now, to make matters even more confusing, in 2011, DC Comics revamped and rebooted all of their titles again, with another mega event called Flashpoint, which established the New 52. Every comic book, including Detective Comics, was reset to issue 1. But then, in 2016, DC decided to semi-scrap all of that, and there was a DC Rebirth, which essentially retconned everything back to the pre-Flashpoint continuity while keeping everything that had happened in the New 52 as well. And Detective Comics resumed its old numbering, hence the issue 1000. Now, I've seen Batman fans divided between those who treat everything post-crisis as being in continuity, including pre-crisis Silver and Bronze Age stories established as canon via flashbacks, and those who just throw their hands up and say, well, continuity doesn't matter anymore, just read what you like. Now, although I prefer to try to maintain some semblance of continuity, there are good reasons to take the latter stance. So many different people have worked on the comics over so many years that in many cases it seems that particular writers simply forgot or were simply not aware of certain facts. To take one case in point, the character of the Mad Hatter was introduced in Batman 49 way back in 1948, during the Golden Age, never to be heard of for many years afterwards. Then, in 1956, in Detective Comics 230, during the Silver Age, a very different Mad Hatter with a moustache, calling himself Jervis Tetch, debuted, and would go on to have sporadic appearances in the 1960s and 1970s. Then, in Detective Comics 510 in 1982, Jerry Conway wrote a story in which the original Mad Hatter returned, claiming that he is the real Jervis Tetch, and that the mustachioed one had been an imposter who he had now killed. He referenced his original appearance from Batman 49, which magically meant that Earth 1 Batman had experienced the same story as Earth 2 Batman. This version of Mad Hatter then appeared in subsequent stories in the mid-1980s, such as in Detective Comics 526 and Batman 378. But then, after Crisis on Infinite Earths in 1987, during Mike Barr's run on Detective Comics, in issue 573, with no explanation whatsoever, the imposter Mad Hatter was back, using the name Jervis Tetch, with no reference made to the original Mad Hatter coming back, or the fact that this mustachioed imposter was supposed to have been killed. Here it seems that Mike Barr was simply not aware of any of this when he wrote the story. The second Mad Hatter would not be referenced again until 2010, when Grant Morrison impishly brought him back as Hatman in Batman 700, Time and the Batman. To make matters even more confusing, the storytelling in the comic books is not always chronological. Take Frank Miller's Year One, for example. That takes place in Batman's first year, and it appeared in Batman issues 404 to 407. But all of the stuff going on around then, in Batman 402, 403, 408, Detective Comics 568, 569, and so on, doesn't happen in Year One at all. They all happen at least 10 or 11 years after that, at least a decade or more into Batman's career, after Jason Todd has become Robin and Dick Grayson is Nightwing. In fact, things are made much easier if you mentally park anything to do with Year One or Batman's early years as flashbacks. Within modern Batman, Dick Grayson's years as Robin are all from years ago. In the actual comics, they happened in the Silver Age, but within the modern continuity, we only see Dick as Robin in flashbacks, and stories deliberately set in the past, like Robin Year One. The following trade paperbacks are all from Batman's early years, retelling various origin stories. Many of these, but not all, collect issues from Legends of the Dark Knight. So we have Year One, Shaman, Batman and the Monster Men, Batman and the Mad Monk, The Man Who Laughs, Four of a Kind, Prey, Venom, Collected Legends of the Dark Knight, Other Realms, Gothic, Going Sane, The Long Halloween, which is seen by many as an all-time classic, and Dark Victory, which, among other things, is also the Dick Grayson as Robin origin story, and then Robin Year One. Then, after that, it is implied, vaguely, that all of the wacky Silver Age adventures with Batman and Dick Grayson as Robin actually happen, but only in glimpses and flashbacks as we see them in the modern continuity. And that's more or less it for Batman the early years. If you only want the barest essentials, most people would say, well, just read Year One, The Man Who Laughs, The Long Halloween, and Dark Victory. For all intents and purposes, all you need to know is that Bruce Wayne's parents were killed when he was a child. He becomes Batman as revenge, and then, sometime after that, after meeting all of his main villains at least once, he takes on Dick Grayson as Robin, with whom he had many adventures. Also, it's somewhat established that Dick Grayson has a bright and bubbly personality, which helped to lighten up the typically grim and dour Batman during their time together. However, despite this, they still had their differences, and the relationship is at times strained, let's say. So, with all that established, you can quite happily pick up the thread just after Crisis on Infinite Earth with Batman 401 and Detective Comics 568 working forwards in print order, simply skipping those issues which flash back to the early years. And this is what I've been doing myself, although whether you are doing it in print or electronically, it is easier to collect trade paperbacks or hardbacks than it is to collect individual issues. Now, what follows is pretty extensive, and I will put all of this in the show notes as well. So let me give you the run order using the trades where possible and uncollected issues where necessary. Max Allan Collins's controversial run on Batman from 1986 is collected in Second Chances. This retells the story of how Batman recruited Jason Todd as the second Robin, and it was controversial because many readers hated the character, and there were also reportedly clashes between Collins and the legendary DC editor Denny O'Neill. Jim Starlin's run on Batman from 1987 to 1989 is collected in Second Chances, The Caped Crusader Volume 1, and A Death in the Family. You have to pause reading Caped Crusader Volume 1 after issue 425 for Death in the Family, and then you can carry on after you finish that. Death in the Family is the story in which the Joker kills the Jason Todd Robin with a crowbar. This was also controversial because the decision to kill off Jason Todd was the result of a fan vote. Batman readers were asked if Jason Todd should live or die, and they chose the latter. Anyway, alongside all of that, you can read Mike Barr's aforementioned run on Detective Comics during the same period in The Dark Knight Detective Volume 1. These are notable for a very different tone, sort of wacky and Silver Age in flavour, but I think it's a very fun read nonetheless. Then, The Caped Crusader Volumes 2 and 3 will take you through Marv Wolfman's run on Batman from 1989 to 1990, although you will need to read A Lonely Place of Dying separately, but conveniently it is included in the latest versions of Death in the Family. And Volume 4 will take you through Alan Grant's run to mid-1991 and issue 465. And Robin Triumphant collects up to and including Batman 469. Dark Knight Detective Volumes 2 and 3 will take you through Alan Grant's run on Detective Comics through to mid-1989 up to issue 600, and then switching over to Legends of the Dark Knight, Norm Brayfogle, Volume 1, will get you to 607, and volume 2 goes all the way to issue 621 in late 1990. This whole period covers Tim Drake's recruitment and training to become the third Robin. Now, as far as I can tell, Batman 470 to 483 are uncollected, so you'll need individual issues for that period if you're going to be a completist. And the same goes for Detective Comics issues 622 to 653. So roughly speaking, all of 1992. I suppose they're going to be collected later in the ongoing Caped Crusader and Dark Knight Detective series. However, from there, things get a lot easier since we enter into the era of the big mega crossover stories, starting with the Nightfall saga, which is now very easy to collect in the 25th anniversary editions, which include The Prelude to Nightfall, Nightfall Volumes 1 and 2, Night Quest, The Crusade, Volumes 1 and 2, Night Quest, The Search, Night's End, Prodigal, and Trochia. This is a huge story in which Bane famously breaks Batman's back, causing Bruce Wayne to retire for a while and Azrael to take over as Batman for a period before Bruce returns. It takes us right up to Batman 516 and Detective Comics 683 in March 1995. The next 3 years to March 1998 from Batman 515 to Batman 552 are collected by Batman by Doug Monick and Kelly Jones. Volumes 1 and 2. For Detective Comics, however, issues 684 to 718 are mostly uncollected, so you'll have to track down single issues, I'm afraid. But now we're into another massive crossover story in March 1998, starting with Cataclysm, The Road to No Man's Land, Volumes 1 and 2, and then No Man's Land, Volumes 1 to 4. This is another huge story arc, in which an earthquake devastates Gotham, leading to a complete breakdown in law and order, which leads to various supercriminals carving it up between themselves. During this period, among other things, money becomes worthless, and the only person who can spend it, because he has outside contacts, including Lex Luthor, is the Penguin. Anyway, now we've reached March 2000 and we're up to Batman 575 and Detective Comics 742. For Detective Comics, issues 742 to 765 in February 2002 are helpfully collected as New Gotham, Volumes 1 and 2. These are all by Greg Rucka and deal with the aftermath of No Man's Land as Gotham is rebuilt. Batman 575 to 581 are uncollected, but then we have Batman by Ed Brubaker, Volumes 1 and 2, plus False Faces by Brian Vaughan, which take us right up to Batman 608 in December 2002. However, it is likely easier to stop at issue 598 and then read Bruce Wayne Murderer and Bruce Wayne Fugitive, which are the biggest crossover stories of this period, and also collect Detective Comics 766 to 755. So we are up to January 2003 in both titles. For the next year, Batman is devoted to three big arcs. Hush by Jeff Loeb, which is now available as a big one-volume deluxe edition. Broken City by Brian Azzarello. And As the Crow Flies by Judd Winnick. And these take us right up to October 2004 and issue 631. Detective Comics are more spotty over this period, but it does contain the aforementioned flashback story retelling Batman's first encounter with the Joker, The Man Who Laughs. But issues 776 to 789 are mostly uncollected. However, now we are back to another mega event storyline with War Games, books 1 and 2, which take us right up to Detective Comics 811 and Batman 645, respectively. We are now in November 2005. We get one bridging book, Face the Face by James Robertson, which give us the next four issues of both publications, And we are into a new era with Grant Morrison on Batman and Paul Dini of Batman the Animated Series fame on Detective Comics. So for Morrison, that's Batman and Son and Batman RIP and Time in the Batman. Now, there's a lot more to Morrison's Batman than just these three trade paperbacks, but they continue in other publications, so I'll be on the remit of my guide here. Dini's tech run is collected in Batman Detective, Death in the City, The Resurrection of Ra's al Ghul, Private Casebook, and The Heart of Hush. Although you might find this run easier to collect in individual issues from Detective Comics 821 to 853, because for whatever reason, most of the trades are out of print. And now we are pretty much up to the era of the New 52, with Scott Snyder taking over from Grant Morrison on Batman and Tony Daniel picking up on Detective Comics. However, from here, DC have made it incredibly easy to collect issues since they are simply labeled Batman Volume 1, Volume 2, Detective Comics Volume 1, Volume 2, and so on, with each volume collecting 4 to 7 issues. And then, following the DC rebirth, Tom King takes over from Scott Snyder, and James Tynion IV takes over from Peter Tomasi, and the volumes simply start again from number one. So there it is, about 34 years worth of Batman to read. Now, I don't know if there's anyone around who's read it all. I myself have only read some of the more famous volumes, but it is my intention to read the complete run, starting from the post-crisis era. Thus far, I have made it all the way from 1986 to the end of 1989 in only a few weeks, and I intend to go all the way. Currently, I'm in the middle of Marv Wolfman's run with Alan Grant on tech. Maybe you can join me. I hope you've enjoyed this guide. If there's enough interest, there'll be more Batman from me to come. Maybe I can review some of these runs I'm talking about. If you're a fan of the Batman comics, or indeed a fan of Batman at all, let me know in the comments. What have been some of your favourite stories? Why do you like the character? Be sure to like this video and subscribe. And if you really like my content, maybe consider joining the channel or donating or maybe even buy a mug. I am grateful for all of your support. Now get out.